Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come to know God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We also want to invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on a variety of subjects. And you will find a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. Today, we want to continue our examinations of the writings of the Apostle Peter. We are now in 2 Peter chapter 2, and today we begin a new section, verses 4 through 9, in talking about the destructive end of the false teacher. We begin reading in verse number 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that a righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Now, in our text today, we see the end of the false teacher, their destructive end. Angels who sin. Angels have boundaries or habitation beyond which they cannot and must not go. Read Jude verse 6. Those were not spared by God, but they were cast into Tartarus, which is Greek. In the Greek mythology was a subterranean place lower than Hades. They were handed over and delivered up to prison, to pits of darkness, where they are to be kept till judgment. They have no chance to repent. They have no chance to turn back. Why? Because they were with God. They had every reason to stay with God. And yet they rejected God. And so they are reserved for judgment because of their ungodly conduct. And so God did not reserve the unfaithful angels. If he did not overlook their sin, he certainly is not going to overlook ours. And then he brings up in verse 5 the ancient world in the days of Noah. The world of Noah's days was not spared from judgment when God brought a flood of destruction upon the world of the ungodly men. Only Noah and seven others were righteous, were guarded and kept from judgment. Notice in our text in verse number 5, it says, did not spare the ancient world. Only eight souls were saved when God brought a flood upon the ungodly world. Noah preached for 120 years while the ark was preparing, trying to turn men back to God and getting them to repent. They did not heed the preaching of Noah. They continued in their ungodliness. And when the door of the ark was shut and when the waters of the deep were broken up underneath the earth, and the windows of heaven were opened, then water covered the earth, and they were killed, and they died in the flood because of their ungodly conduct and their unwillingness to repent. And then you have, in verse 6 through 8, Sodom and Gomorrah. The city of the plains, when corrupted, except for Lot and his family, were overthrown and reduced to ashes in God's condemnation of their lascivious life of wickedness and lawlessness. Lot was delivered. He was dragged out or rescued from danger because of his righteousness and his tortured displeasure with the mind that was vexed on sin. It was being tormented daily with the sins of those cities. They were continually forging ahead in their ungodliness and their rejection of God. Notice in our text, he turned them into ashes. Read Genesis chapter 19. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for sexual immorality, for the sin of homosexuality. Now, just to show you how misguided men are, men have tried to say that why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of a lack of hospitality, because no one would take Lot in. While it's true that no one but one man, Lot, took the strangers in that were in the open square, that was not the reason for destruction. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? For the sin of homosexuality. How do we know that? Because that grievous sin had come before God, and he was sent, because he sent his angels there to bring out righteous Lot, because he was going to destroy the city. Now, ask yourself this question. Why did he want to bring Lot out? Because he was trying to live righteous, even though everybody around him was living ungodly. Now, if you don't think that was the sin that's under consideration, you need to go back and do some homework. In Genesis chapter 19, they pounded on the door and asked Lot to let the men that were under his roof to come out so they could know them. Now, that word know means to have carnal relations with. That's what the word means in the Hebrew language. It means to know carnally. They wanted to have sexual relations with the men. Remember, Lot offered his daughters, and they refused it because they wanted to have the men. And they asked Lot who made him a judge over them. And so they were ready to kill Lot. Again, this ungodliness caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their filthy conduct that was ungodly. And Lot was delivered because he was living among the wicked. And his righteous soul, from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. He saw and heard their lawless deeds. He knew what they were doing, that it was contrary to God. It was ungodly. It was immorality, and he wanted no part of it. And so it cost the lives of everyone in that city except Lot and his two daughters. Everyone else was destroyed when God sent fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed the city of the plains. Now, the thing that we need to understand here is that God does not tolerate rebellion, and he does not tolerate immorality. Those things will not be tolerated by God. They weren't tolerated then. They will not be tolerated now. Now, in verse number 9 of our text that we read, it says, "The Lord is able to deliver and to keep. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." God knows how to deliver the godly out from temptation, test, and trial. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 13. "He will not make a temptation that we're not able to bear, and with every temptation make a means that we might be able to escape it, that we might be able to bear it." God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. That's a promise from God. And so we need to understand he knows how to keep us and to keep guard over us, that the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. There's going to be two groups of people, the faithful and the unfaithful, the godly and the ungodly, the righteous and the ungodly. There's going to be two people who are going to be judged, those who have obeyed God and those who have disobeyed God. The sentence or destruction of the false teacher lingers not nor slumbers not, but they are kept under punishment until the day of their sentence, which is just as certain as the transgressing angels, the wicked world in the days of Noah, and the lascivious cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. These three examples serve notice that God will not accept the false teacher nor those who practice their teaching, those who fall into ungodliness and do things that are contrary to God's will pay a high price. The consequences of that action is sin, and sin's consequences is death. Read Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We cannot thumb our nose at the law of God. We cannot do things that are contrary to God's will and follow the false teacher and follow the things that he says are right, that are not right, that are not honorable, without having to accept the consequences for the choices that we make. We make the choice. We believe it. We follow that conduct. We follow that example. And when we do, we will surely be destroyed. We will surely face the wrath of God. You cannot do wrong and not suffer the consequences. Even if you are misled, even if you are mistaught, even if the false teacher misguides you, you have a responsibility to check him out, to make sure that what you're being taught is the truth, to make sure that you're being led in the paths of righteousness, to be sure that the truth is what you are hearing and not the theory and the philosophy of men. You and I have the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to not allow the false teacher to direct us and mislead us in a place where we will lose our relationship with God and we will suffer the destruction from God's wrath. The false teacher has a destructive end. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Not only does the false teacher have a destructive end, so do all those who follow their teaching. All those who follow their teaching will also face the wrath of God. Now, the false teacher will give an account, and he will be lost because of his false teaching, but that won't help the person who listens, believes, obeys it, and follows it. They too will be lost with the false teacher. Why? Because they did not examine. They didn't put to the test. They did not go to the Word of God to find out that what they were being taught was true and in accordance with God's will. It is a tragedy today, ladies and gentlemen, that so many people will take a person who claims to be religious, has a title, claims to love God, claims to be speaking for God, claims to be being led by the Holy Spirit, and yet they will take what he says or she says, and they will run with it without checking it out. Such conduct is inexcusable. Such conduct will make a person susceptible to false teaching, false words, false concepts, false philosophies, false theories, and human theology. And any of those things will lead to a man's destruction. The false teacher is real. The false teaching is real. The error is real. And the destructive end that there is at the end is also real. And so what we're trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that the false teacher, he will be judged for his false teaching. But that will not help the person who falls to that prey to that teaching because they did not examine it. They didn't put it to the test. They didn't search the scripture daily whether those things were so. Please read Acts 17:11. Please read 1 John 4, verse 1. And please understand our duty and our responsibility is to check out our teachers to make sure they are teaching us the truth. We want to thank you for listening today. We ask you to tune in again next Lord's Day as we will finish this particular section up with looking at the false teacher's character.